All right, joining me on the line is BAFTA-nominated and British Academy of Composer Gold Award winner, writer and performer Richard Digance. Richard has performed over 4,000 live shows, 62 British tours, written 14 books, 3 stage plays, 32 albums, and has had nearly 4 million hits on YouTube. He composed the audiobook for Bill Bryson's bestseller, The Road to Little Dribbling. His animal alphabet poems are used as English teaching aids in 14 countries from the USA to Swaziland. His guitar instrumentals are used on numerous TV productions, and he's going to be at the Queen's Theatre on Sunday the 23rd of April at 7:30 p.m. Now I'm joined on the line, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah. Why is it my bank can ring me from Mumbai and tell me off and I can't get to you?
You're from Plaister or Plaster, whichever way you want to pronounce it. When did you realise that you wanted to do comedy? How old were you?
Well, I was a student, actually. I was bunged up to Glasgow because I was a couple of qualifications short, and they were the only place that would take me. Having our accent, yours and mine, up in Glasgow, at that time, wasn't probably the best accent to have. So I used to keep quiet, and I found a little bit of retreat in the College Folk Club, which I'd never really knew much about. But I really enjoyed sitting there, you know, the music and stuff I'd never really heard before, because I was brought up, like most people of my generation, on the Beatles and Stones and things, and suddenly there's guys playing guitars and girls with long hair and blokes drinking beer, and I just thought, wow, quite like this. And the resident at the College Folk Club where I went to college was an unknown bloke called Billy Connolly. I used to watch him every Sunday. Blokes used to buy him pints and girls used to chat him up, and I think, do you know what, that's the only reason I'm at college, I'm doing the wrong thing here. So I genuinely bought a guitar. I had a big fluke in my life. I'm not a particularly lucky person, but I just happened to be sharing a flat with a guy called John Martin, who was a bit of a supreme guitarist. He wrote May You Never, that Eric Clapton did, and so on. And I just sit on the settee and watch him, and I suppose watching him cut down, I don't know, a year's guitar playing in a couple of months, really. So I was away, dropped out, moved back down to home, got a job at Old Church Hospital developing x-rays. The head of the radiography department at Old Church, a guy called Jazz Summers, said to me, who I had digs with, he said, you've never got any gigs, have you? I said, no one wants to book me. And he said, I'll manage you. And he just ran the x-ray department at Old Church and in Romford. And anyway, he managed me for a little while. We started doing all right. And then he said, I don't really like folkies very much. I'm going to get a pop band. He said, it was nice sort of trying to manage you, but I've got other ideas. And I said, oh, that won't work. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I formed a duo called Wham. And Jazz Summers went on to manage George Michael and Scissor Sisters and The Verve and Snow Patrol. But he started in the x-ray department, shutting the door, getting me gigs, which is good, isn't it?
That is amazing, isn't it? You meet these people through your life. I mean, what a great start. Do you remember your first gig?
Yeah, it wasn't so much comedy, the first one I did. The only reason I turned to comedy, and I never say this unless I'm on home patch like you lot, is that I couldn't sing very well. That was the problem. I mean, there were some good singers on the folk scene, and it was a very cool scene at the time. You know, it was all students and blah, blah, blah. I wasn't the greatest singer, but I did learn quite quickly that if I told little stories and set the songs up, the audience were more attentive, you know. So I started doing stories and long stories. The first one I ever did, and I remember it very well, was just off the Romford Road, and it was in a double-decker bus, a derelict double-decker bus, and the singer sang with his back turned to where the driver sat. There was no seats, they were all taken out, there was all cushions on the floor, and in the interval you went upstairs and had oxtail soup. That was in Cook's Road, Stratford, in an old junkyard, and that was my first ever gig.
And you can still remember it? You can still remember all the details?
Yeah, well, it was probably the biggest one I ever did.
Yeah.
Don't say yeah. I'm lying.
Well, you've had a really good start with Billy Connolly and Jazz Summers and everything else. That's a really good start to your career.
Then I got on a bus. Great. I learnt my whole trade in, not so much the East End, because there wasn't really that many folk clubs in the East End. There was only one in Barking Road and one in Barking, I think it was called the Railway Hotel, and the resident there for a while was some unknown bloke called Paul Simon. So the scene was... Oh, is that you?
No, it's not me. I'm not trying to ring you again. This is on the other line.
Okay.
You've worked with some legends in your time. And
they've worked with me. Get it right.
Yeah, get it right. Right. But you've worked with the likes of Steve Martin, who is a fantastic musician.
He's probably the world's best banjo player, you know. But he had, I tell you, the greatest encore. He used to take the audience out into the street and show them how to nick a car. How good is that? And yet, he was the most painfully shy bloke off stage, as indeed are a lot of performers, of course, but he was particularly shy, very introverted. And then when you watch him as a nutcase on movies, you know, and Father of the Bride and stuff, he's a complete loony. But no, he's not really like that. I've always defended myself with all the years I did Countdown, you know, with Richard Whiteley. And I used to say to my mates, don't take him as a bumbling fool, you know, because he's actually one of the nicest guys I ever met.
Yeah.
He just knew his image, you know, as we all do, I suppose.
Now, you also worked with Robin Williams as well, who's was an incredible talent, absolutely incredible. What was he like?
Very small. I just remember him being a little bloke. And well, I did the London Palladium with him. But I've got a bigger boast about the London Palladium. You remember when they used to have Sunday night at the Palladium? Not the very old days. I wasn't around then, you know, the Bruce Forsyth time. But after that, when it was, I think Jimmy Tarbuck used to present it, I did it with Roy Orbison. And he turned up with his wife, who looked exactly the same as him.
Right.
And I came off stage and he said to me, you obviously play the guitar. And I said, he said, tune mine for me. And I stood there and tuned Roy Orbison's Red guitar. And for all you guitar nutters listening, you'll know what that means. It was just like holding a bit of gold nugget. So it was great. But it's all fame by association. You know, I was still, it's all very well, the name dropping, but I was trying really hard to make a name for myself. I just got on telly, which was a great move, but I didn't really fit on telly. I was a musician, really, and a live performer. I was doing lots of live performance before I got on television, and then, of course, people then know the association then is telly, and doing things with, I don't know, people like Davidson, but in actual fact, I was with Elkie Brooks for 4 years before I got on telly, so I sort of learned my trade, you know.
I was going to say, when I spoke to you last time, a couple of weeks later, I was taking my mum out for Sunday lunch. I went out for Sunday lunch. I don't know why I said that, because I was just feeling a bit hungry. But we went out for Sunday lunch. Then we came back to like some friends' house, and I said, oh, you've got to listen to the interview I did with Rich Dudge. I said, it was really, really funny. What a great bloke. And we were talking, and then we went onto YouTube, and, you know, we sat there, watched you for about an hour and a half on YouTube. And we just
sat there. And you hated your mum that much?
No, we laughed. We sat there and laughed and laughed. We were looking back through like loads of really, really like old stuff that you did on the TV.
All right.
Absolutely hilarious. We just sat there laughing. And I was going to say, your comedy has really stood the test of time, because I'd say your comedy is like a Lauren Hardy. Not all comedians have that. So why do you think you stood the test of time with your comedy?
Really, really good question, which I've never quite understood myself, to be honest. You know, I mean, my audience get older with me, obviously. I mean, that's the same with any artist. You know, my audience looks more like a doctor's surgery these days than a bunch of people going out for a show. But I think, if I'm honest, I've never really had anyone snapping at my heels. You know, there was a big folk entertainer boom, as we called ourselves, way, 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 way back, probably started by Billy Connolly.
Mm.
I don't really personally include Carrot in that, because he wasn't really a guitar player. He used it as a prop, you know.
Yeah.
But there was like Mike Harding, and over in Wales there was Max Boyce. But there wasn't really a London version, because London is too big. So I was always trailing behind those, because I couldn't be a local blah, 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 because, I mean, London's too cosmopolitan, you know. So since those days, and I remember there was a guy called Fred Wedlock who did The Oldest Swinger in Town, you know. There was all these old folkies wandering around. Since those days, I don't think anyone else has done the guitar, comedy, chorus songs, you know, and therefore I've sort of had it to myself a bit. You know, that's the only way I can explain it, because I still do great business, and doesn't seem to flag, to be honest. You know, when we got a good crowd tonight in Southend, we got a good crowd on Sunday in Hornchurch, and I mean, it's not like that all over the country, you know. I mean, if I go up north, you know, there's St John's Ambulance people treating people for loneliness. but down on our neck of the woods, it's really, really strong still. And the only thing I can say is no one's come and taken the mantle, you know.
You know, with your gigs, when you get up on stage, do you plan everything to a T? Are you a bit like a Tommy Cooper, or do you sort of roughly plan out what you're going to do and then you just change it on the night?
I'm a bit the same as a comedian, really. We call it A to Z, you know, so you've got to get from A, and you start at A, you've got to get to Z, but in the meantime, you diversify to different letters, and that's how comedians do it. They know where they're going, even if it sounds like they're ad-libbing. They're not really. They've got stuff stored away in their little filing cabinet upstairs in their brains, but it sounds like it's all spontaneous. I can assure you it isn't. That's why the McIntyres of the world do warm-up gigs, you know, and so on. I go and see them sometimes, and they do little gigs so that they don't get distracted by big crowds, you know, while they're working it all out.
Mm.
So, no, it's not off-the-cuff stuff. The blessing for me is I've got songs.
Yeah.
And so I can really just, like, okay, after this song, I can do my take on my classical music composers never put words to their tunes. I know where I'm going with it, you know. Mm. So I'm a little bit more scripted than I sound. In between songs, I haven't got a clue. It all depends where I am, you know. Yeah. I mean, when you're in a home base like tonight or Sunday, it's a doddle for me. But sometimes you just have to work harder, you know. It's when you're up in Scotland. I'll tell you what I did do when I was in Scotland. Because I live 504 miles from a date we did in Scotland, right up on the east coast over the Forth Bridge past Edinburgh.
Yeah.
504 miles. So I was eight, and I actually live 4 miles from Stonehenge. That's an absolute fact.
All right, yep.
And so I was able to tell the Scottish people where the Proclaimers walked to. they walked to Stonehenge.
Yep.
Because I know for a fact it's 500 miles. So they just stared at me just like you did then. I thought I'd invented something amazing, because no one knows where they walked to, did they?
No.
They just walked 500 miles. And I tail it off by saying, if I walked 500 miles to see a girl, I wouldn't take my brother with me.
Well, they've got that special bond, haven't they, really? with the song The World's Unluckiest Man and songs like that you're classics, do you get the audience joining in with you?
Yeah, they come. I'll tell you what it's like, really. Oh, I try so hard to sort of pigeonhole myself, but it's a hard one to do, because I heard the intro. You know, I've done so many different things. I'm not saying for 1 minute, oh, great, that would be very arrogant, but I've just tried my hand at a lot of stuff until it works, you know. The big stuff works, you know, working with Bill Bryson and stuff like that. That works, but sometimes it doesn't. It's just real hit and miss. But how I've always seen myself is a sort of a modern day musical act. That's how I look at myself, you know, whereby, come on everyone, let's have a good old sing, let's put this nonsense behind us for a couple of hours, you know, the election, Brexit, that idiot over the pond, let's just put it all behind us and have a nice night out. And I think that's what, I mean, we weren't around, but I think that's probably what they used to do way, way back.
Yeah.
And they like a good sing song, particularly our neck of the woods. They love it.
Yeah.
And as I said to you before, you know, I don't really know anyone else who's doing it. And so I may not be very good, but when you've got it to yourself a bit, you know, you haven't got too many worries, if that makes sense.
You were saying about all the stuff that you've done, because you have, your CV is impressive. Not that I've looked, I sound like some sort of stalker when I say it like that. But you've got the animal alphabet poems, and they're used as English teaching aids in 14 countries.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Look at me. I tell you what, I left school with 4 O levels and a National Cycling Proficiency Certificate. And the animal alphabet was originally a series for the BBC.
Yep.
You've got to be really, really old to remember that one. You've got to have cobwebs on your eyelids. Do you know what I mean? But it was quite successful.
Hmm.
And then they pumped it. It came out in a book with Penguin, and then they pumped it all around the world. And because it's animal poems, it's an easy learn for children. So sort of, let's say, 5 to 8 or 9 before they get too cool to read that rubbish. And it's used, yes, it's used all over the world as a teaching aid for English and in universities in Vancouver and so on. It's a bit ka-ching, to be honest. It's all right.
Yeah.
Because they have to license it off, yeah?
Mm.
And also I do a lot of the old background music, you know, for the old afternoon TV stuff.
Yep.
And people are buying houses and all that stuff. So I'm nice and comfortable. I don't really have to go out and tour like I used to.
Mm.
And so I it's really weird, isn't it? You put more into it when you don't need it. It's really bizarre. I think it's because I just enjoy performance. That's what I was made to do. And I ain't going to stop, because if I stopped, I'll sit at home and play the guitar.
Mm.
So my theory is I might as well go into theatres and do it, you know. But I don't know the longevity. I haven't got a clue. How it all works, stuff you were saying, going around the world, I haven't got a clue. I genuinely haven't. I just think I tried so many things, like an octopus, really, that one of the tentacles had to stick somewhere, and they did, you know, so it was great.
I was reading about you'd done a creative writing workshop. Was that for writing comedy, or is that for writing sort of books, or just is it, how did that go for you? Because you did that in January, I think.
I started at the Edinburgh Fringe doing that, and they ask you to do that. When you go up there, they say, you know, can you do a morning, blah, blah, blah. I can't sing in the mornings when I've had a few Jack Daniels the night before. I just can't do it. They suggested that I did some songwriting thingies, you know. And I said, well, I can't really do serious songwriting workshop, because there's thousands of songwriters that are far, far better than I am, and it probably wouldn't be much of an attraction. But what I can do is comedy songwriting. I can do a comedy songwriting workshop. And it went really well.
Mm.
And so I do one a year, and people come and they stay, and I teach them, you know, the art of, because, you know, the trick really of any writer, and I tell you who told me this, was the late Bob Monkhouse. There's a name drop.
Yeah.
And an incredibly nice bloke who unfortunately had that look that made him look a bit smarmy, but he was actually a really nice guy.
Mm.
And he said to me, something that I've always passed on, is that comedy, whether it's a song, a script, or a play, or a film, it's always the same. Boy climbs tree, boy falls out of tree. That's the story of everything that's ever made. And I didn't quite get it at first. And I said to him, what do you mean? And he said, well, a boy climbs a tree. You don't know why he climbs a tree until he's up there. He might be nicking apples, or he might be rescuing a kitten, or whatever. And then he falls out of literally falls out the tree. He said, every story, film, movie, song, poem has three parts. He said, and always remember that.
Mm.
And I've never forgotten it. And when you think about it, it's a bit flippant, but when you think about it, it's absolutely true. Everything that's ever written has got a start, a middle, and an end.
Mm.
And that's how I teach creative writing, thanks to Bob Monkhouse.
I might have a go at writing a comedy song, right? This is just, it is out of the blue a couple of months ago. And I, do you know what? I wrote the most unfunniest thing. It was absolute, I was so embarrassed. I couldn't even tell anyone. It was absolutely horrendous. But in your head, you think, oh, you know, I could write something really, and it's really, comedy is just really, really difficult. It's difficult to, I think it's one of those things, and being up on stage with even like with your guitar, or just being on the stage, you've got to make that audience laugh. It must be such a rush as well.
I think both of those things are true. I think when you're learning, it's an absolute panic. As the man Steve Martin said, comedy is not pretty. But when you've done it and you're feel at home with yourself, there's no better drug, you know, than carrying an audience with you and knowing they're appreciating what you're doing, and of course all the women in the audience want to take you home and take you abroad and lay on a beach with you, and that's my dream, that one day that might happen. But that, yeah, they do go with you as long as you know what you're doing. I mean, the great thing about me, of course, is I do my own song, so even if I forget the words, they don't know.
Yeah.
and so I don't have those panic buttons to press, you know.
Now, the show is the 2017 Golden Anniversary, can I get this right, Golden Anniversary Tour. So this is going to be on Sunday at the Queen's Theatre in Hornchurch, and it starts at 7:30 this Sunday. So tell us what people can expect from the show.
Well, I've got a lovely duo on with me. Well, I don't normally have support acts, but I wanted an act that are doing their first British tour because it makes my story more feasible. It's my 62nd British tour.
Wow.
And so I've been around the block a few times, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if I had someone with me who's actually doing their first and then I can interplay with them? So they're on. They're from Suffolk, Broadside Boys. And the first half, I go on at the beginning, do some new stuff. And then it's Wham Bam Crash in part two, all the sing songs, and a couple of poems like you played there before we kicked off.
Yep.
And you don't want to do too much new stuff, because don't forget, I'm a sort of a nostalgic act, you know. Fruit Salads, Black Jacks, Marshmallow Shrimps, Jubblies, Bazookas, Spangles and Imps, I do all that.
Mm.
And people in your neck of the woods, they know exactly what I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah.
You can't not do it because people feel they've been sold short. The only thing is, I think the tickets are a bit cheap. I wanted £100 a ticket and retire, you know what I mean? But Hornchurch wouldn't do it.
So. No, they're a bit selfish like that, don't the Queens? Nice bar they've got. A lovely bar they've got there.
Yeah, well, they have jazz there on Sunday lunchtimes,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's nice.
Yeah, and I used to live in Upper Brentwood Road, so I used to go down to Queens on Sunday lunchtimes and have a beer. A Rivita and listen to the jazz. So, yeah, for the homecoming for me, you know, to do Hornchurch, it's nice.
Now, if you were not a comedian and you were not able to do anything creative at all, because I know you're an artist as well, we haven't even touched on that, but you do paintings too, what job do you think you would have done?
I think your job, because you're so amateur, you know what I mean? And I'm a class presenter. I could do that falling off a twig.
This is community radio, so we just come in here and we just do it. This is it, you know.
I know. My mate does the community radio in Ipswich, and I started in... I started my whole career at East Ham Hospital as a hospital radio jock, you know, and that's why I ended up on Capital Radio in the early days, you know. So I know the game really well. I love radio.
Mm.
I think it allows imagination. It allows the people listening right now to feel that I'm talking to them, which is fantastic.
Mm.
Television isn't quite the same, you know. It's wider. It's not so friendly in my book, especially now.
Yeah.
I mean, TV now is all about making money, and it never used to be like that. And don't get me on talent shows.
Oh, don't like the talent shows. Don't fancy being a judge of one of the talent shows.
I hate them with a vengeance. Vengeance, because I don't believe anybody should be mocked for singing. You know, even if they're not very good, to shatter their dreams and their illusions to become a billionaire, I think is absolutely disgusting. So I'm not really, no, don't get me on that one, please.
No, it turns nasty.
I'd rather talk about Donald Trump.
A lot of people don't want to talk about him either.
No, we don't, do we?
No. I have to be very careful what I say at the moment because Ofcom rules and things like that about politics.
Yeah, I know. You have to be careful, don't you?
I don't want to get done.
I don't know what I'd do. I'm a bit of a history nut, you know. I love history and I love our history, you know, the East End and out around Essex and things. I love all that, and I might have been something really boring. Not that I'm not, but I might have been more boring. You know, I could have gone into sort of like digging for things, and that would give me a bit of a buzz. But no, I couldn't ever. Although I was an animal ambulance driver for a little while in Redbridge at the PDSA. I drove one of their ambulances around for a little while when I was skint. So I have done jobs.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what I'd go back to. I really don't know. I'm not interested in politics or anything like that, so I couldn't be a clever person, you know.
I think you're clever enough with all the things you do. That CV is impressive.
How are you still getting away with this anyway? I've been talking to you for years.
What do you mean? No, well, the thing is, it's community radio. So, I mean, I come in and have a cup of tea, and I do 10 till 1 on weekdays. And because we're not well, because we're community, we can have a good old chat. So I don't have to say to you, if you went to one of the other stations, I say, you've got 2 minutes. I have local, you know why I like doing this job, Richard? Because I have local artists, I have local singers come in, all age groups, they all come in, I play loads of new music on my show, and that's what's good about doing community radio, because you're not set to a time limit of, you know, people a bit of...
I googled you when the interview came in, just to see what... I always like to know who I'm talking to and what I'm going to talk about. Mm. And sometimes, to be brutally honest, I don't do them. You know, if I don't feel that I've got anything to say,
yeah.
You know, if, I don't know, Radio Newcastle, let's just say, came on, I don't have any link with them.
Yeah.
So unless they were playing tracks, you know, from an album or something, I wouldn't really know what to say. But when I googled you and I saw you do the sessions, which I think is absolutely fantastic, because community radio, for that reason, is very, very important, because mm-hmm. those singer-songwriters don't stand a chance, do they, on the mainstream, on the FMs, you know, and all that. And so what you're doing is actually... a vital part of the community, and I'm all up for it. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I just think you should practice more. That's all I'm saying.
I do. I talk to myself all the time. Now, if you want to see Richard, it's going to be this Sunday at the Queen's Theatre. It's going to be a stonker of a show. It's all the W's, queens-theatre.co.uk. And the box office, as you know, is 01708443333. And you can get to see Richard at the Golden Anniversary Tour. And that kicks off, I think, about 7:30, doesn't it?
I think so. Normally in my shows, it's when they actually come in, you know, because it's so few. But no, it's been nice to talk to you, and I'm glad you're still practicing. And the great thing about that is because you can't see anyone, we don't know what we all look like.
Well,
and
I told you I'm stunning before we went on air. I told you that 3 times.
Yeah, but you are the most interesting man I've ever had the pleasure.
We've never had the pleasure. It's only 10:42. thank you very much, and I hope everything goes well with the show. You're brilliant. Thanks a lot, Richard.
Yeah, speak to you again one day.
All right. Take care, my love. All right.
All right.
Bye, everybody. Bye.